Our evangelist gives us a whole Greek and Hebrew lesson in today's gospel. Lots of translations happening. But we have a number of beautiful points to reflect on, and I want to do that well enough that you have something that moves you to a deeper participation in our Mass today, and maybe something that you can also take home and continue to reflect on. So I need your help. If you could just pray for me for a few moments that I'll speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear, like Samuel, what he wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In our gospel, we're presented with that question. Jesus presents the disciples, and thus also us, with that question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Probably all of us could come up with a couple of responses to that question at this moment. And it would be a good thing for us to do as we enter into the time of prayer that follows the homily, the presentation of gifts, and the Eucharistic prayer. Jesus encounters us, and he does ask us that question. What are you looking for? How will you respond to him? The disciples give a profound response. It makes me think of that game that I used to play when I was a child. Friends would ask, well, you know, if you had a genie, you know, a lamp, right, and you rub the lamp and the genie comes and says, what do you wish for? What would you say? You get three wishes. What would you wish for? And the really clever child will say, I'll wish for more wishes. I want the genie. I don't just want all the stuff the genie can give me at this moment. I want the genie. Now, what we have is much greater than a genie. When Jesus says, what are you looking for? The disciples say very insightfully, profoundly, they say, we want you. Where are you staying? We don't want just whatever you can give us in this moment, because what were they looking for? As we find out soon enough, one of those two disciples, Andrew, his brother Peter, had a mother-in-law who was very sick. And he could have very easily said, well, I have my brother's mother-in-law is very sick. We know that Andrew is excited to bring his brother to Jesus. We don't know all the reasons for that, but he must have thought, I know that Simon really needs help. So he could have said to Jesus, what are you looking for? Well, some help for my brother. Those would have been very reasonable responses. And we have all of our own responses. I was just giving spiritual direction to a woman in England on my way to Mass this morning. She had questions about having a baby. She's newly married. She's working. She has a number of different things going on. She's not staying in England for a long time. A lot of questions, discernment, serious questions. People who have lost loved ones, it always seems that they die around the Christmas time. I think a combination of winter, and then I think our loved ones like to be home, eternally home for Christmas. What are you looking for? Some consolation, some help. I lost a friend. I lost a mother. I lost a brother. Whatever it is, we have these things that weigh on our hearts. But the disciples teach us something so important in the gospel today. What are you looking for? And they say, we want you, Jesus. Where are you staying? Where do you abide? That's what we want to know. We want to know not only how we can talk to you today, We want to know how we can talk to you tomorrow and talk to you next week and the week after that. In fact, we believe that with you, everything else becomes manageable. Without him, we can do nothing. And with him, all things are possible. In our first reading, we heard the complement to this, because ultimately, what does it mean to know where Jesus abides? We know that he is God with us. We just celebrated that all throughout the Christmas season. Emmanuel, he is God with us. We know that Jesus enters into our humanity. We know that Jesus is close to us, in fact, at all times. Where does he abide? Part of the answer to that question is he abides in my life. He experiences everything with me. He is closer to me than I am to myself. Well, then what do I do with that? How do I find him? Well, we need to learn how to hear his voice. All of us need to learn how to hear his voice, or how to hear his voice better, at least. And that's what our young Samuel learns in the first reading. And we see two things that are very important for that. One is that he has help. He hears a voice. He hears that something is calling him. He thinks it's Eli. And eventually he needs help from Eli. Eli, as it turns out, is not the best priest. If you read the rest of the account, he's quite a miserable priest. In fact, he had chastised Samuel's mother for being drunk in church, when in fact she was sobbing over her desire to have a child. Talk about a pastoral disaster. Eli is not the best priest, but in fact, he serves the purpose. Sometimes it doesn't take the best. Sometimes it just takes someone else. And Samuel is able to go to Eli once, twice, a third time. And finally, even thick-headed Eli gets it. Oh, it's God who's speaking to him. But we need somebody else. We're not meant to be gurus all on our own. We're not meant to be the wise man who sits levitating on a cliff and has all the answers. We're meant for community. As Christians, we're made for each other. Jesus wants to form us into his own body as a church, as a parish, as a people. We're made for each other. And so God speaks through others. That's why I ask for your prayers at the beginning of this. I'm not the one doing all the work here in this Mass. If we're not doing this together, it's all going to fall apart. I'm the one who's playing a particular role, doing a little more speaking than other people. But we're doing this together, praying for each other, together listening to the Lord. We need each other to support each other. The person next to you in the pews, whom you may not know or you may know, or behind you or in front of you, is essential. We need each other for that Christian journey and to learn how to hear the Lord, to know how to reach out to God, who does invite us to know where he is staying, who enters into our own lives and who helps us. So the first thing that we need to hear the Lord is others. We need the help of other people, whether it's like my spiritual directee was doing, sharing her soul and explaining what was going on, and I help her to hear just in our conversation. It's what spouses should be doing, parents and children, friends. We need a lot of spiritual accompaniment if we're going to grow in our Christian life. And that requires listening and sharing, and listening and responding. It requires those friendships that go deeper than just what the score of the Steelers game is. That's an important question, but it's not the most important question. We need those conversations, but we also need spiritual conversations. And the second quality that Samuel has is this real docility. He's willing to be taught. He's willing to let Eli teach him. He's willing to receive. He shares what's happening. I heard this voice calling me. But then he's willing to hear, even when Eli gives him the wrong advice, in fact. It's nothing. Go back to bed. I didn't call you. Okay. He's so docile. It's very beautiful. And that kind of humility and docility is essential. Because if we think we know all the answers, and if we think we don't need any help, and if we think only certain elect people have anything to say to me because I'm so great and talented, then we're not going to hear the Lord. We need the humility that makes us available to be able to hear the Lord through all kinds of people we would expect and also people we wouldn't expect. Samuel gives us that example of docility. And with that formation, Samuel becomes one of the greatest prophets of Israel, the one who anoints the first king and who anoints David the king. So as we celebrate this Eucharist, let us respond to the question of Jesus. What are you looking for? And maybe you can say in a deeper way from your heart, Jesus, I want you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know your will in my life. I want to share every moment with you. I want to do all things with you. And then help me to know the ones that I can share this with and who can support me. And help me to know the ones that I can support so that together we can hear your voice and together we can carry out your will and together we can manifest your love to the world.